If you look in your bulletin this morning, you will see a symbol there. Many of you may not even understand what that is, and know most of you, if not all of you, recognize what that is. That's a symbol of bars of strength that we have on our cell phones and on our little electronic gadgets that we have nowadays. It shows the amount of strength or power that we have, enabling us to make calls or to receive data or whatever it is we're doing on that gadget. And you know, if you look at your phone and you only have one of those, a small one, or you have none, you're not able to do anything because you have no strength. The strength that we have shown in the bars enables us to do what we're supposed to do on those electronic gadgets. I want to talk about our strength this morning. As much as it's interesting to see how different people deal differently with their problems, as we talked about last week, one thing that's common when we have these issues in life and dealing with our problems is that these issues that we deal with and dealing with them take time, they take energy, and they literally sap the life out of us. We're exhausted in just our minds whirling and going round and round in our minds, trying to play the situation out, trying to work it out in our minds so that it'll work, and it literally exhausts us. Feeling exhausted from these things that we deal with in everyday life has a negative effect on us spiritually. Many people end up angry at God because of them, blaming God, or they're so focused or preoccupied with trying to find out why, questioning God, just going round and round with God about it. They become so preoccupied with that they fail to stop for a moment, take a nice deep breath, and just turn to the Lord and cry out in help. In 1 Samuel, we're introduced to a woman named Hannah, who dealt with a problem that had caused her great distress for many years. In the context of the culture that she lived in, to be without a child was not a good thing. Your status in society, your position in society was very limited if you didn't have children. If you passed away, you had no one to inherit your family things. And in some cases, if there was no children, the inheritance that a certain family or group had received because of the tribe that they were from, when the area was divided up between the different tribes when they came into Canaan, that property and those possessions were lost forever. So here was Hannah. She had no children. And we saw how she was taunted. We saw that she was committed in her faith, going every year with her husband to Shiloh to worship God, and how she was taunted there by his other wife, by her husband's other wife, because she didn't have any children. But we saw also that Hannah was not angry. She didn't turn away from God, she didn't curse God, and she didn't blame God. And as I read over this over and over and over again, I start to see some correlation between this story and the story of Job. Could it be possible that because of this correlation in the themes of these different readings, different books and different writings, that somehow, somewhere, they're both focused on the same thing? And that's why they're in our Bible, for those of you who are coming to Bible study. The focus in these is to show the greatness of God in our troubles and our trials of life. Inasmuch as last week we learned that the Lord remembers and that the Lord honors our faith in Him and recognizes our faith in Him, much like we would recognize someone who's done something great by having a banquet, bringing them in and recognizing him, the Lord recognized or honored Hannah because of her faith in God, praying to God. And we saw how the Lord remembers when we have faith in Him. He honors that in us. And today we see the Lord strengthens. What we saw in her faith was that she honored God, and God honored her faith. And the Lord remembered her. If we look really quickly over what had happened, there was this man whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah didn't have any children. She went with her husband to worship in Shiloh. every year. And though she was bitter in her soul, she wasn't bitter towards God. She prayed to the Lord. She made a vow to God to give up a son if God would give her a son. And the scripture told us that the Lord had closed her womb. Oh boy, here it is. The Lord had closed her womb. She wasn't blaming God, neither was the scripture. It's important that we understand that the Lord closed her womb. And as she went on, she was praying, and Eli, the priest, saw her. He thought she was drunk. She said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm lifting my concerns up to the Lord." And deeply troubled, Eli blessed her as she went on her way. Next morning, they left. They went back to Ramah, if you remember the story. Cana laid a hand on his wife, and the Lord remembered her, honored her faith. She gave birth to a son named Samuel. Now Cana then went up to his family to offer the sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow to Hannah. It didn't go up with him. She was going to wait till the child was weaned. Okay? He said, "Do what seems best to you." He went and worshiped. She didn't until the child was weaned. And after the child was weaned, our scripture tells us, she took the boy with her, young as he was, with the 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. See, she was going to make a sacrifice to the Lord and an offering to the Lord to offer Samuel to the Lord like she had promised. Now, a lot of times what happens, people lay out their laundry list to the Lord. "If you'll do this, I'll do this. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Lord, I need this. Lord, give me this. Give me this. Remember me, Lord." And what happens when they receive an answer to prayer, they just go about their merry way. "Wow, thanks, Lord. Thank you very much." And they go about their merry way, life as usual. And they don't keep their end of the covenant. You see, but she did. She went up to Shiloh. She made the offering. And she met up with Eli. She said, "Hey, I'm the woman that's praying for a child. I'm the woman that stood here beside you praying. I prayed for this child. The Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I'm giving him to the Lord. For his whole life, he'll be given over to the Lord." And he, meaning Eli, worshiped the Lord there. Worshiped the Lord because God had been faithful and answered her prayer, you see. So, in chapter 2, we see Hannah prayed. Now, for those of you in Bible study, when you look at this right off the bat, we see this is poetic. This is Hebrew poetry here. And in this sense, Hannah wasn't praying quietly to herself. She probably was there during one of the worship times in Shiloh, and she stood up. And in the Hebrew context, a lot of times the prayer was sung through. See, out loud. Unlike when she prayed quietly, and Eli had seen her pray before. So she would have sung this. But what's important here is what happened. What she was saying. And her prayer, notice, was rooted in the character of God. "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn is lifted up." Alright, now, what's all this stuff about a horn being lifted up? Well, there's two different translations here, two different understandings of what this means. In the ancient Eastern women, in their dress, they had these shawls and veils and so forth, and they would have a horn on the front of their head that would hold the veil out in front of them. Maybe some of you have seen that in movies or in pictures. Alright? Before they had children, they would have a horn and a veil over their face. Once they had children, they would move it higher on their head. And I suppose the veil would be away from their face. But it was designed to show the people that they were a woman now that had children. In this particular case, it could be that she was praising God because God himself had taken away her disgrace, and lifted this horn up and revealed to the world not only was she a mother now, but God's greatness. But when we start to understand what the Hebrew text is talking about here, when she says, "In the Lord, my horn is lifted up," we're talking about the strength. When the horn is spoken up, and someone's horn lifted up, it's spoken up of in terms of someone given strength, you see. And this would make sense when she says, "In the Lord, I've been given strength. My horn is lifted high. And my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." So we see that she's rejoicing now because God has delivered her from disgrace. And she makes a proclamation, there's
no one holy like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. So don't keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is the God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. And let's look at the character of God here when we see God's justice. Recognizing the downcast, she says, in terms of the reversal of societal norms, the bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full now hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children. She who has had many sons pines away or wastes away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. He sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. Notice what she's doing. She's exalting God in this psalm, in this prayer, talking about how God is a just God in reversing the roles of what would seem normal in society. And in society, you see, in this culture, the women were lifted up and exalted in the community because they had children. But you see, she trusted in God, and God's a God of compassion, recognizing the downcast, and she's shown that here in the prayer, how God recognized those in need, those who are downcast, those who are struggling, those who need strength. And it's the Lord who provides all things. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the guard. He will guard the feet of the saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It's not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He'll thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is what I want to really talk about today. In the end of her song, he will give strength to his king. He will exalt the horn of his anointed. The strength of his anointed. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit. When Hannah prays this or sings this, as she probably did, and finishes with the words, he will give strength and he'll exalt. Exalt means to lift up, to stand up, much like resurrection. Now we're talking the gospel. He'll resurrect the strength of his anointed. He'll give new life to those who are downcast. We start to see in the character of God, Hannah rejoiced because God is a God who recognizes those who are struggling in need of strength and who turn to him for that strength to be renewed. He'll give strength. The root of that word strength is from a root word in Hebrew, which means to be stout or courageous, strong, sturdy. I like it when someone tells me I'm built stout, you know. It's a little bit different than what the Hebrew language meant. He'll give strength. He'll give courage, strength, and sturdiness to his king. And he'll exalt or lift up his anointed. The word strength in this case doesn't simply mean, you know, strength in the way that we think of, that we can do it because God gives me the strength. This is strength in terms of his Holy Spirit giving us security and renewing our sense of hope and bringing us from the bottom of the pit, as he said, he brings down to the grave and raises up. He takes us and literally raises us up again and brings us out of that condition that we're dealing with, removes the anxiety and brings assurance into our hearts that this God who laid the foundations of the earth will give us strength and he'll raise us up or resurrect us because we're his anointed children. A lot in common here with Mary's song in Luke. You see, in the birth of Jesus. But I want you to think here about something. Hannah struggled for years. She should have had a real beef with God. But God answered her prayer and gave her a child. And she's exalting God for his character. And she's reminding everyone, it's not by your strength that you're going to be provided for. It's only through the strength of the Lord that we're going to prevail.
That God's the God who can do all these things, that has the strength to provide strength for us, and who has the strength to help us overcome. That's why his name in Hebrew is Eleon, which means the Lord who's strong. He'll give strength and he'll exalt or lift up. This is from a woman who was probably at the lowest point in her life because of what she was dealing with. And she exalts God as God should be exalted. You know, when we talked a bit here with the kids this morning about why, when we're frustrated, why when we're in these situations, should we keep on going? Why should we keep on trusting God? The Bible, first of all, shows us, first and foremost, why we should. Because God's going to remember us. He's going to honor our faith if we do. All right? He already has. Why wouldn't he still? And the Bible tells us, as Hannah says, he's going to give strength, he's going to exalt us, and he's going to raise us back up. And we're going to see as the story goes on that that wasn't the end of the story either. That it only gets better. You see. She could have been bitter. She could have been bitter about all this. Why did it take you so long, God? What are you waiting for? I'm your person. I go to church every Sunday. I do everything that you ask. I'm a good person. I treat everybody good. I give my tithes. I help out. That isn't the case at all here. Here's a woman who was powerless. But God remembered her. He exalted her. He lifted her up. Because God is a just God, recognizing the downcast. I want to ask you this morning, what is that thing right now, or things, that are really burdening you right now? That you don't even really want to think about because it brings such anxiety to your mind and to your heart and to your whole body. I mean, we all know. We've all been there and are maybe there right now. Pacing the floors at night because we can't sleep, because it's so burdensome, because it keeps rolling around in our minds over and over and over again. And we're trying desperately to discover, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What should I do? What can I do? And the devil's telling us, you can't, there's nothing you can do. You might as well curse God and die. That's what people told Job. And in our minds, we're thinking it's a hopeless situation. I don't even know who to call. I might as well just give up. Because that's what the enemy wants us to think. And look what it tells us here. That no, those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were hungry hunger no more. The Lord brings death and the Lord makes alive. He raises up. He exalts. And we need to remember that in those times, that our focus has to be on the character of God. Rooted in the character of God. So much so that we cry out to God, as Hannah did, and find out that it is the Lord who gives strength and lifts us up. Because in Christ Jesus, we're his anointed. We're his chosen in Christ Jesus. It's hard to do that when we're in the depths. I know, I've been there. I struggle with the same things that all of you do. I've been through depression. I've been up tirelessly in the middle of the night, struggling with anxieties, and a lot of people say, well, a preacher shouldn't do that. When you look at the Bible, all of God's chosen people did. All the great preachers struggled with these issues. They're real issues because we're human beings, you As God's creation and chosen people, we need to remember who laid the foundations of the earth, who's going to guard the feet of his saints. It's not by our strength that we prevail. You see, it's by the strength of God that we're going to get through. The Lord remembers and recognizes and honors our faith, and he strengthens those who turn to him. Her heart's rejoicing now because she had a child, and she's giving that child up for his whole life. She would see him once a year when she'd come back to worship. But this child that she longed for year after year and prayed to God for and desperately wanted, this child was the answer to her problems. It was going to solve everything. That was going to bring her joy. Now she's given it up. Absolutely. Because her heart was rejoicing in the Lord, because of what the Lord had done for her. But the Lord drug her through the mess in the first place. He closed her womb. Why? So that the Lord could be exalted in the end and give strength. You see, frustrated? Absolutely. Downcast? Sure. But trusting in the Lord and faithful. There's a video some of you might have seen years ago, maybe not, in which Reba McEntire stars along with Huey Lewis, which some of you probably have never heard of. It's based on the song "Is There Life Out There." In this video, I encourage you, if you have YouTube, to watch it sometime. Reba McEntire is a waitress. She's a mom. She has a husband, two kids at home, and she's going to school. And it shows her struggles through the video and how she's struggling to handle all this, to juggle all this. She gets to class late. The kids are ornery, you know, and fighting. And her husband's always there to help out. He's helping out at home, keeping the kids quiet, putting them to bed as she gets home late. And it highlights her struggles that she goes through. One day the kids were fighting in her study where her typewriter was, writing her paper for her class, you know, before computers. And there her typewriter was with her paper that she had been working tirelessly on. And as the kids were fighting, they spilled a cup of coffee that had been left there on her paper. Well, you know, on a typewriter, you have to type it all over again, you know. The mom was so uptight. She was so angry about it. She started yelling at the kids. Her husband pulls her aside, gives her this great big hug and says, it's okay. It'll be okay. It's okay. She's just so tired. She's so anxious about this paper and about passing this class. So she hands the paper in with the coffee stain and everything on it. And the day comes when they receive the paper back from the professor. And she waits around at the end of the class, and the professor calls her down. And he says he wants to talk to her. And he hands her a paper, and he says to her, "Your neatness is lacking, but your grasp of the subject is remarkable. You get an A." And he says to her, "Next time, try to avoid the stain." And as she turns to walk away, she mumbles out loud to herself, "I learned more from the stain than I did from the paper." You see, it's our grasp of reality in our times of struggle, in our low points. It's our grasp of reality of the character of God that's going to carry us through and give us the strength we need in those situations. Our grasp of that will strengthen us and lift us up and resurrect us, trusting in a God of hope and a God of life. The Lord remembers, but he doesn't stop there. The Lord also strengthens us. I pray today that somehow this message strengthens you in whatever it is you're dealing with, to know that God loves you. And God's burdened when we go through those burdens. He's burdened too. And he's right there with us. And for some reason, he's allowing those things to happen to strengthen our faith and to strengthen our trust in him so that we can stand and exalt the Lord and say, my heart rejoices in my God who's answered my prayers and given me strength. Let's pray.